It can be really hard to think back to those not-too-distant days when we did not have cell phones. Just look around you the next time you're at a coffee shop or restaurant. Chances are good you'll see a group of people together. But are they talking to each other? Maybe. But chances are also good they've all got their eyes on their phones. One wonders, can't they just put the smartphones away and talk? University of Michigan professor Dan Kruger says, perhaps not. He and his research partner, Professor Julie Finkel, studied students on campus as they interacted with each other and their smartphones. He joins us now in the studio. So, Dan, you discovered cell phone use is literally contagious, like a virus?
Right. So when people are together in a social space and one person picks theirs up, then their companions are more likely to use theirs as well.
Which explains when you see the groups together and everybody's tapping away and texting and Instagramming and all of that. Is this almost like a virus?
Right. It seems like a feedback loop, and it happens quite frequently. You know, we think that some of this might be people are thinking, oh, you know, I had to check if I got that email or that message. So when someone pulls out their phone, it's a cue, you know, it's a primer. It's like, oh, you know, I should check my messages. But this is happening so often, you know, sometimes, you know, several times in just 5 minutes, that it can't be just, oh, I really need to check if I had that email now. We think it's really related to social attention. So imagine that you have attention as a limited resource and you're dividing it between those people in your real space and those people in your virtual networks.
So you have X amount of attention. There it is. You have that amount.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with a group of three friends. So then as soon as I see you pick up your phone, that all of a sudden I've lost some of your attention?
Right. Right. You can think of it as a conversation that they're in and you're excluded from, not necessarily intentionally. You know, it's not as strong as, you know, ostracizing you, but it's something that you can't participate in. And that's aversive to people. You know, it's an aversive experience. It's sort of like, oh, no, they're paying attention to this other person. And what does that mean about me? You know, I'm not socially included. So it's being socially included in the conversation. And when you're socially excluded, people seem to react to that, both thinking, oh, you know, that's rude, but they also might reach out to their own social networks so that they feel socially included as well.
So you're going to have your conversation. So I'm going to divert my attention from you and start having my conversation that you're not a part of.
Right, right. I'm going to have mine. And also for all the people around, you know, if you have one person who's always on their phone and checking their phone, well, who am I to be just standing here and waiting for this person to be done with the other conversation? So it's also demonstrating to those other people around that, hey, I have friends too. You know, look, we're both socially involved.
So I see this possibility of all of these subsets of conversations happening via text. So what does that say about the face-to-face interaction that is supposed to be the basis of human communication?
Well, it can really detract from it. When everyone is in their own little world, then the social interactions that we have in real space can suffer. So this is something that I hope people become more and more aware of, and we become smart with our smartphones and manage them appropriately. You know, so for example, you wouldn't want a situation where you had a television in every room and it was constantly on and everyone was constantly watching the TV rather than, you know, engaging in conversations with those around them. And this is, I mean, still fairly new technology. You know, we've had it for, you know, for a decade or so. But I think that we're still learning how to really use it effectively and appropriately. I mean, people are still talking on their phones, you know, with a phone in their hand while they're driving down the highway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we still have some learning to do.
Is this something you've observed in adults, like post-college age, as well as, I know you were studying college students. Do you feel this is something that mom and dad are doing as well?
You know, I think it can happen in older adults to some extent. Although most of the people that we observed, you know, it's around a university campus, so they're probably around the typical student age. And it just seems to be my impression that, you know, younger adults, college students, high school students seem to be on their smartphones the most. And, you know, it might just be that they grew up with them. You know, this was just part of their lives when growing up. You know, they've always had access to them, you know, in the same way that, you know, people's parents and grandparents are still getting used to email, you know, so they use it and will send emails back and forth, but they're not on email, you know, every hour like you or I might be.
But and this is something I'm suspecting was not as much of a problem when all we did on those cell phones was talk. It's the invention of the smartphones and all the ways we can play Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and texting obviously was the first thing outside of talking. So this, I suspect, am I right that you wouldn't be observing this as much if it was a matter of just talking on the phones?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, I think that the added dimensions that you get from the smartphones bringing additional opportunities, you know, so people could be checking their Facebook updates and looking at the pictures that their friends are sending them. And in a way that they might not perceive this as bad as, oh, if they're actually talking to someone, they might not realize that it's not just the noises that you make, you know, when you're talking to another person and how distracting that can be. It really is about the tension that you're giving to your electronic world and taking away from those people that you're with in person.
So take this forward down the road a few years when these students who are learning to interact or not, as the case may be, they're running the world. They're the politicians, they're the business leaders, they're the attorneys, they're the doctors. What do you worry about as far as their ability to communicate?
Well, I'm hoping that there's more attention paid to interpersonal communication skills in person. This is a broader concern that people have about, you know, people are growing up, they're spending so much of their social times in electronic environments and online that they're not really getting the experiences and building the skills of what it means to have in-person conversations and discussions. And maybe some of these in-person interactions are beginning to mimic, you know, the really telegraphed speech and quick conversations that they're getting in the text, and not having, you know, a full conversation.
Yes, with all the nuances.
Right, with all the nuances. If everything has to be condensed into a 150 character burst, you know, it's not going to be as effective, you know, or as meaningful.
So what should we do about this?
Well, I think we have to learn how to use this technology in a way that doesn't interfere with the other aspects of our life. You know, just like other technologies that came before it, I don't think we can take it away, you know, put the genie back in the bottle. And it really is a useful and effective ways of communication. You know, you can message people from all over the world and get information quickly. But I think that people should pay more attention to how this interacts with the real life social world. And maybe by giving these people a perspective, saying, well, now how do you feel in this situation? And, oh, yeah, that person is rude. Oh, I wish they wouldn't do that. Well, do you realize that, you know, you're doing it too? And this gets to be this feedback loop where it's really detracting from your quality of interaction. And then maybe they would get an idea. And maybe to more closely regulate our own use of the technology. So figure out when is an appropriate time to use it, when is not. So if you're at the movie theater, you know, or in church or out at a fancy dinner, you know, maybe you should not, you know, not just turn your phone to buzz, but turn it off so that you're not distracted at all.
Professor Dan Krueger from the University of Michigan School of Public Health and the Institute for Social Research. Thanks for sharing your insights with us today on Stateside.
Thank you for your interest.
A controversial land sale was approved by Detroit City Council yesterday, but the deal doesn't mean new factories, it doesn't mean new buildings. Instead, think tens of thousands of trees. We'll find out more in 15 minutes. This is Stateside.